First of all, just to say thank you to Luke for his very clear reading of both scripture readings this morning. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Some of you may have seen on some news reports just over a week ago the extraordinary birth of six baby lambs to one ewe on the Hardy family farm just outside Birr in County Offaly. Such a multiple birth of lambs is a rare occurrence, apparently, with an approximate one in a million chance of it happening. As far as I know, it seems so far that all of the newborns are doing well. If you happen to take any interest in Christian art, you may be aware that a lamb is often depicted in paintings of John the Baptist, by Caravaggio, for example. Apparently, it was the rule for many centuries. Sometimes the lamb is just sitting there looking thoughtful. Sometimes the point is made more obvious by blood pouring from its side, perhaps being caught in a chalice. Sometimes John is pointing to the lamb. John the Baptist is famous for many things, but the central and most important role he has in the New Testament is to point away from himself and towards Jesus, or as he calls him in our gospel reading today, the Lamb of God. We continue today with the Epiphany theme of the revealing of Jesus. While the expression the Lamb of God has passed into regular Christian usage, the phrase only appears in this first chapter of John, first in verse 29, then again in verse 36. John saw Jesus coming towards him the day after Jesus' baptism and declared, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John the Baptist here himself admits that Jesus ranks ahead of him. And while John had been looking for the Messiah, he actually didn't know who he was until God revealed it to him. The sign that indicated to John the identity of Jesus was, of course, the descent of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist testifies, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him." He reiterates that before this happened, he didn't know that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God, God's chosen one. Now he understands that it is Jesus whom he has been preparing the world to receive. John, with two of his followers, met Jesus the following day, and again he exclaims, "Look, the Lamb of God." To describe Jesus in this way was to build on the promises of the scriptures. Going right back to Genesis 22, verse 8, God provided a lamb to Abraham and Isaac as they went up the Mount of Moriah, thus rescuing Isaac from certain death. The Passover lamb, too, from Exodus, celebrates the gaining of freedom from slavery and from death. In the original Exodus story, Israel is rescued from the dark powers of the world as represented by Pharaoh and the Egyptians. But now, according to John, God's Lamb is going to take away the sin of the world itself. God's rescue operation is moving out wider than just Israel to embrace the whole of creation. This has been hinted at in John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Everybody who receives the word, who believes in his name, can become a newborn child of God. Jesus has been revealed as God's chosen one and our Redeemer. The Lamb of God is the Messiah sent by God to bring judgment to the evil and deliverance to the righteous. As we were last week, we were at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. John the Baptist is pointing his followers towards Jesus, and the effect of his words causes two of his followers to leave him and to follow Jesus. Jesus turns to meet them. Saint Augustine once said that we cannot even begin to seek God unless he has already found us. When we seek God, we do not go to one who hides from us, but to one who seeks us and who wants to meet us. Jesus asks, "What do you want?" Now, this might be a good question to ask all of us. Is it knowledge, security, meaning, a purpose, peace? Or is it a relationship with the living God? When the disciples ask Jesus, "Where are you staying?" Jesus invites them to come, and you will see. The only real way to truly learn of Jesus is to abide in his presence. Faith isn't simply just about believing in facts. It's about having a living relationship with Jesus, God's chosen one, the Messiah, the Lamb of God. Andrew, since he understood Jesus was the Lamb of God, left John the Baptist and followed Jesus. He found his brother Simon Peter and brought him to Jesus. In effect, then, we could say that Andrew was actually the first missionary. For it was the same Andrew who brought the boy with the 5 barley loaves to Jesus, and later he brought a group of Greeks. The revelation of Jesus as the Messiah, the Lamb of God, changed how Andrew lived. He responded by building a relationship with Jesus and by bringing others to him. What might that say to us today? The former Bishop of Oxford, John Pritchard, tells the story of Sarah Miles, a journalist from San Francisco who had covered revolutions and wars in South America. A convinced atheist, she had no intention of becoming what she called a religious nut. But it was until one morning, for some inexplicable reason, she wandered into a local Anglican church and received Holy Communion. In that moment, her world was turned upside down. "Jesus happened to me," she said. "God, named Christ or Jesus, was real." Miles, on her road to Damascus, never looked back. Following the revelation of Jesus to her, she went on to engage in Christian outreach, including the setting up and running of food pantries for the poor in St. Gregory of Nyssa Episcopal Church in San Francisco. And she's also written 2 books, Take This Bread and City of God. Both St. Andrew and Sarah Miles responded through mission, having met with Jesus. The Anglican Communion's common commitment to an understanding of God's mission is expressed in the 5 marks of mission. There are 5 T's: tell, teach, tend, transform, and treasure. Tell, the good news of the kingdom. Teach, baptize, and nurture new believers. Tend and respond to human need by loving service. Transform unjust structures of society. Challenge violence of every kind, and pursue peace and reconciliation. Treasure and strive to safeguard the integrity of creation and sustain and renew the life of the earth. Andrew proclaimed the gospel, the good news of the kingdom. Sarah responded to the needs of the poor by loving service. As we know in our Western world, sadly, religious faith as expressed through church is in decline. The drop in religious affiliation is particularly pronounced amongst young adults. Secularism, unfortunately, is on the rise. To help address this crisis, there is a need to prioritize mission, both at home and overseas. A need to engage in a more meaningful way with our communities and beyond, to live out our faith as salt and light in our daily activities. Now, throughout the Church of Ireland, there are a number of good examples of mission. For example, we've got the Mustard Seed and Messy Church in our own group of parishes. With the threat of climate change, the Diocese of Cashel, Ferns and Ossory have established a diocesan environmental group to encourage good environmental practices. Rathkeel in County Limerick has the largest proportion of its population identifying as travellers. The Rathkeel Pre-Social Cohesion Project is perhaps an unusual example of mission in the Diocese of Limerick and Killaloe. It seeks to be the voice of faith communities on issues of justice in a place of division that has yet to recognize or accept the need for healing and reconciliation. Down the road from us, the Drumcliffe Centre for Mission, a partnership between the church army and the local parish, seeks to reach out to both tourists and locals alike. At home and abroad, churches across the island are engaged in mission in different ways. We are sent not by any human authority, but in response to the Lord himself. How are we to live up to this challenge? Perhaps by being branches on the vine that is Christ. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Lambing season is almost upon us, at least in some parts of the country. The lamb is usually a sign of gentleness and timidity. But for us Christians, God's lamb is a sign of victory, for he has freed us from our sins. At Epiphany, Jesus is revealed as the Lamb of God, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. He invites us to come and see, welcoming us into a life filled with meaning and purpose. Faith is about having a living relationship with him. His presence can transform our lives. Mission should be part of our Christian living. It is our vocation to tell, teach, tend, transform, and treasure. It is our mission to serve, to invite others to come and see. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.
Response to the Lord as we sing together is number 597, Take My Life and Let It Be. We're also going to take our offering during this hymn, number 597.